not hurting as bad as it was this morning. Let me tell you, whew, that thing was painful today. I ordered a brace for my knee yesterday in the mail, and I came this afternoon. I put it on. I don't know if it's helping or hurting, because boy, that thing is sore where it's squeezing, you know. And God is good, amen. I'm glad you're here tonight. I thought you and I. My wife told me, she said, I think probably what happened, Mike. And of course, I never listened to my wife, amen. She said, I think I know what happened. She said, I think your knee gave out and you went down. And I said, no, I just had a foot slip and I went down and twisted my knee. But now that it's come back around the other side, you know, because it hurt for 3 days, and now it's back on the other side where I messed it up where it gave out before, I think she was probably right. But I really don't want to tell her that, amen, because if I tell her that, she'll say, I told you so, you know, no. Well, God's good. It's just good to be here tonight again. Now, I want you to go to the book of 1 Peter with me again this evening. The book of 1 Peter again this evening. We were in 1 Peter last night, and I want to go back to 1 Peter again tonight. I think tomorrow night, Pastor, we'll be over in the book of James, I think. That's what the Lord was leading me to today as I was studying when it was so hot in that bedroom and I couldn't take a nap, you know. So no matter where we were at in that house today, I don't care lakefront or not, it was hot, man. Amen. And the only thing would have been better if they had water blowing up off of that thing through the door and you could just stand there and get relief. But it was something else, man. And anyway, praise the Lord. It is good to be back here again tonight. And I want to thank this church. I know you pray for me all the time, and I thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers. Man, 20 years coming here. I think this is a 21st year preacher and, you know, something like that. I think I missed 1 year when I had open heart surgery. I had to call you and cancel that meeting, and man, and that tore me up because I hate canceling anything, you know. But I had that incident with my heart July the 4th, ended up in the hospital that year, and ended up in 2008, and boy, I was just a mess, you know. And but boy, I tell you, God is letting this thing still tick. And. And I think the pacemaker has a lot to do with that. Hallelujah for pacemakers, amen. And hallelujah for defibrillators. Thank you. I thank God for that. The doctor did tell my wife. She says, if he passes out, do not touch him. So she's been warned, amen. So next time I get ready to pass out, I'm going to say, honey, give me a kiss, amen. Light up her eyes, hallelujah. We haven't done that since we got married, man. So. Yeah, praise the Lord. God's good. 1 Peter chapter 1, enough of the joking and having the fun. Well, let me ask you one thing. My computer the other day, Pastor, I wanted to save something, and it rejected my password, beef stew. It said you can't use that. Why not? Well, then I got to looking at it, it says stroganoff. Not strong enough. Not strong enough. It's one of them pulpit preacher jokes, you know, that really, I had one of my step-nephews today, or my granddaughter's, I guess grandson, my granddaughter's husband said that, because my son-in-law sent something out, and it was just, I said, man, I said, that is one of the dumbest things I ever heard you say, Mark. Because he always comes up with these jokes, and they mean absolutely nothing, amen. So my grandson put that on it, the one grandson, and I said, but at least that one was funny. Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through verse 17 for a few moments. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner, listen to that, in all manner of conversation. That's not just what you say. That's how you live your life as a born-again believer, saved by God's grace. Because it is written, be ye holy, what? For I am holy. Now, can I make a statement to you? We, in this life, Pastor, will never be as holy as God is. In salvation, we are. We are kept, amen. In salvation, because of the Holy Spirit of God, we are set and we are sealed, period, period, period. But when it comes to your Christian life, you'll never be as holy as God. But that does not mean we should not strive for holiness in our lives as the children of God. And if ye call, on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Peter had encouraged the saints, had encouraged those that were having scattered abroad, and letting them know that God has chosen them. Amen. By the way, you got saved, God chose you. Let me make this statement to you. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, we all have the same choosing. We made a decision to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the salvation was out there because of God. Given he also reminded them, giving them an inheritance that is eternal. He's reminding them that they are not kept by their own power, but by God's power. They will face trials. He's letting them know their salvation will soon be complete. He's letting them know that they must live as the children of God. When things seem to be hard and difficult for you and I, how are we to live as the children of God? Whenever we see the word here, wherefore, it's there for a reason, amen. So he said in verse 13, wherefore? Well, wherefore means in light of what has just been said. Thinking about what I have said. Wherefore, he said, because of these things, because of this, then wherefore, he says to you and I, he said, gird up the loins of your mind. These blessings that God has brought our way, and these Jewish people scattered abroad, the prospects in salvation, that's their hope. The possessions from their salvation, that's their inheritance. The protection in salvation, that's they were kept. We looked at that last night. The pleasure of from salvation, they rejoiced. And the privilege in knowing and having salvation unto us in verse 12. And now we come back down to verse 13. The Christian, I wrote down, if you're taking notes, you might want this up. The Christian is to be spiritually alert. Spiritually alert. Gird up the loins of your mind. You think about in Israel and other countries that were maybe of the Eastern aspect or Oriental. When they would do work, they would reach through and pull their robes up from behind and pull them up. Then they would gird themselves up. They would tie it up. And it's the idea for you and I to have our mind tied up. It's the idea that there's nothing that's going on that would impede our walk or our action or our work for the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not have things that stop us from doing what we need to do. In other words, stay awake spiritually. You ever fall asleep during church service? I'm honest, amen. Air fall secret, come on. Air fall secret in church. Now let me put it this way. You ever wanted to sleep during a church service? Amen. Usually when I'm preaching, I'm going to sleep, amen. But gird up the loins of your mind. People will sleep sometimes. It's hard to stay awake. But to stay spiritual, stay spiritually awake sometimes, this is even harder. To stay spiritually awake. We're told to gird up the loins of our minds that we might stay spiritually awake as believers in Jesus Christ. The words gird up speak of one, I got this written down, speak of one being able to have free movement and no hindrance to supply or to so apply that to the mind. We come to the understanding that our minds can have hindrances and be strapped or limited by things that should not be there. We need mind control. How many times have you ever heard that in our city? They mind control. They're just putting out a bunch of hothouse tomatoes, and they ain't going to last. The Christian's not going to do what they ought to do. And well, I've heard that I don't know how many times over the years, but we need to have a mind that is, listen to this one, under control. Your mind ought to be under control, amen. Not by the world, but by the things of God. It is to be regulated and controlled. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and verse 5. You can turn if you want to. I've already got many of these written out up here, so I'm just going to read them. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We think if you go to war, what do you want to do? You want to fight? He said, our weapons are not carnal. They're not, that means they're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. That's a spiritual mindset. Casting down imaginations in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down, listen, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. As a man thinketh in his heart, what? Soul is what? He. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And Jesus did not think about that in his heart. Jesus was Jesus. He was God. Amen. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, we need to have the mind of Christ. Now, if you're not in the Bible, I'm not talking just about reading it to get your reading in, amen. I'm talking about if you don't spend time studying, if you don't spend time trying to get an understanding of things, you'll miss so much, and God wants to do so much more with you and for you than just you to sit down and read through it. I mean, it's almost, we do it and we say, man, I read through my Bible. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad. But that doesn't mean anything. You should read through it, absolutely. But you should take time also to study the things of the Word of God. Why? That you might grow in the very grace of God. How are you going to grow if you don't know what the Bible says? Well, I go to church. How are you going to grow if you don't know what the Bible says? Well, I'm there Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night. Some churches have Sunday school, some don't, amen. Some have Sunday night, some don't. Some have Wednesday night, some don't. But you say, I'm there whenever the doors are open. But that doesn't mean anything if you're not in the Word of God and getting fed daily. You come Sunday, I don't know about you, but I go to church on Sunday. I feel like I'm full when I walk out of that church service. And not because we had a dinner, but because I'm getting something and gleaning something from the Word of God to help me as a child of God. But now, throughout the week, if I don't read my Bible and stay in my Bible, and the only time I'm getting fed is on Sunday, let me do this for you. If all you're doing is getting fed on Sunday, next time you come to church, only eat one meal on Sunday, and don't eat anything until the next Sunday. Let me know what that does for you. Amen. So let me know what that does for you. Because my friend, you're not gonna feel well. I'm just telling you. Well, that's just fasting for 5 or 6 or 7 days. Well, have at it. Amen. Have at it. I tell you, I know what that does, and I know what it can happen, and I know how that can move and do things to you. But let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. A mind. We need to have a mind that is disciplined. A mind that is disciplined. And look what he says here in the text again. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. This literally means, when you understand the word to abstain, Pastor, from many times intoxicating drinks and drugs and things like that. But it in principle means to behave with calmness. To behave, to listen, to be sober, to have your mind in the right place. A believer should not panic and go to pieces when life's troubles beset him. Amen. You ever known anybody that panics and they panic over everything? We don't have to cultivate wild and disorderly thoughts. Amen. But we need to cultivate our minds to the very truth in the Word of God. And we need to have a mind that looks beyond the present to the future. A mind that's looking ahead, a mind that has a desire to serve God, a mind that has a desire to do something for the Lord, a mind that you have it set in your mind what you want to do next as a child of God. Have your mind set to read the Bible every day. Have your mind set that at a certain time of the year you're going to have so much of your Bible done. Have your mind set that you're going to have your devotions every day, not just reading your Bible through, but your devotions every day to learn something for the very Word of God. God's goodness develops our spiritual life day by day. His goodness develops our spiritual life day by day. The hope that we have should motivate us to be spiritually awake. Amen? The hope we have should motivate us to be spiritually awake. I have a message I preach entitled, Awake! Wake up! Amen? Because we need some Christians that are dead asleep in their pews, dead asleep in their spiritual life, dead asleep to Christianity. Some are dead asleep to salvation. They're not Christian, but they're dead asleep to salvation. We need to wake up, amen, to the very truth of the very Word of God. And then secondly, the Christian is to obey the Word of the Lord. Look what he says again in verse 13 and 14. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for your grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Now, before you were saved, there were some things. If you were saved when you were young, praise the Lord. If you were saved when you're older, there were some things that you did that you were in ignorance about to the Word of God. Am I right about that? Some things you did, some things that were in your life, and to you they were fine. Why was it fine? Because the world said it was fine, you know? So where I grew up in Ohio, they had, if you turned 18 years old, you could drink what they call 3-2 beer. Regular beer, that was 3.2% alcohol. Regular beer was 7.7% alcohol. So we could drink 2-1, you know. So you got just as drunk as anybody else. You just drank twice as much beer. But the world said at 18 years old, that was legal in the state of Ohio. It's still legal in the state of Ohio. You can still do that at 18 years old. 3.2 beer. So we would do it. But I didn't know. I thought it was okay. Why? Because the world said it was okay. Amen? So then the world said it's okay if you tell dirty jokes. That was the world. Didn't bother the world. Didn't bother those who were not saved. Amen? And those who were saved, we just didn't tell it to them. Why? Because we were ignorant to the truth. I always thought there was something wrong with Christians that didn't want to hear a good joke. Well, I'm a Christian. Guess what? They're not good jokes, amen. I don't want to hear them anymore. You know what amazes me? Those things that stayed in your mind from when you were a kid, that are still up here that you have to fight all the time and ask God to help you and to keep you straight in your mind with Him as a believer in Jesus Christ. The Christian is to obey the Lord. Christians are called children. Look what he says. Children of obedience. That's what we are called. The children of obedience. Most spiritual and physical problems are directly related to, listen, not all, but most are directly related to disobedience. Amen? There's things that, I'm sure maybe you would admit to in your life, that before you were saved that you did, that have taken, that have had effect on your life now that you're saved. I know there's some in my life because I know it, amen. You say, what are they, brother? None of your business, amen. I'm not going to tell you. I'm just simply saying. We pattern our lives after certain principles in our unsaved life. We had principles that were ungodly and unholy. As redeemed people, though, our principles must be nobler. We have to have a mindset and set our mind to the fact that we must conform to the Word of God, not to some worldly culture. Now, that's where the problem is today, preacher. The worldly culture is slipping in to the spiritual church and changing everything. And so people now today come to church and they feel good, but they don't get anything from the Word of God. And if they come to church and if they don't feel good, preacher, before they leave, guess what? They don't want to come back anymore because they don't have that feeling. I don't know. I don't mind getting a feeling, pastor, when I come to church. And you know when I feel good when I come to church? When I get off of stinking haunches and get down at the altar and get something right with God. Amen. That's when I feel good. I don't feel good just because I come to church. I feel good because God's speaking to my heart and dealing with me. And I'm asking Him, I want something to strengthen me and to help me as a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's look at a couple of thoughts from Peter's life. Christians, go to Matthew chapter 18 with me real quick. And Christians, from Peter's life, Christians are to forgive one another. Now over in Matthew 18, we're going to see something here along that thought, along that line. This to encourage us, I hope. Matthew chapter 18 in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, I love this text. Then said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? That's Matthew 18, verse 21. That's Matthew 18, 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What's 70 times seven? 490 times. So, you know what that means? That you don't stop at 490, you just continue on. Jesus is saying, you just forgive, 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 forgive. Keep on forgiving, amen. I made this statement one time when I was preaching. I think I touched on that text, Pastor, years ago. My wife was in the auditorium, and after I was done preaching, because I made the statement during that message. You know how you make a statement, then like the guy said on the tape today, when you're going home, it gets real quiet, or just say, you know what you said. And I said, I don't know if anybody has ever offended anybody 490 times. She's sitting there. She said, you know what you said? I said, yeah. And I said again. She said, well, they probably have never been married. And she wasn't reflecting on her that needed forgiveness. She was reflecting on this man right here. Let me tell you. Probably, they have probably never been married. Now, I think maybe she said they've probably never been married to a man. Amen. I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember. I just remember the statement because it was one that, you know what you said today? I hear that all the time. You know what you said? Yeah, I know what I said. Look out. I'm in trouble. Well, the Christian needs to obey the things of God. When we live in obedience, when we live in obedience to the things of God or the Word of God, it will be easier for us to forgive those who are around us. It will be easier. When somebody comes to you, you're living according to the Word of God, in obedience to the Word of God, and somebody comes to you and say, would you forgive me? It's easier. It's going to be easier for you to forgive them if you're in and walking by and living by the very Word of God. And Christians are to be Spirit-filled. Amen. We're supposed to be Spirit-filled. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Many Christians, the Spirit is almost foreign to them, other than at their salvation. And I don't know if they understand that they are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Like we talked about the temple the other night. What, know ye not ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen? Well, yeah, we are, amen. And I don't know if some Christians, it just seems like they dismiss that. So many of the Christians, the Spirit is foreign to them. Yet every Christian can be like Noah, who walked with God. That's what the Bible says, amen. Every Christian could be like Ezekiel, who made this statement, the hand of the Lord strong upon me, he says. Every Christian, and by the way, Peter knew the fullness, not just on Pentecost, but every day of his life. Every day, Peter knew the fullness of God. And then Christians, you say, we're saved. Well, we're saved. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that if we're saved, then we ought to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 16 says this. You have not chosen me. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. We're to be a witness. We're to be a witness, amen. We're supposed, listen, I know there's nothing in the Bible that says hand out tracts, but that's how we witness. Let's hand out some tracts, amen. I like the verse they always use all the time that in the Word of God was published about, amen. Well, that's not talking necessarily about publishing it like we have it, but the idea of talking about it. But that's a good way to use that verse, preacher, amen. I think we can use it without really doing damage and taking it out of context. I think it's a good verse to use for that stuff. But the opposite of obedience is what? Disobedience. So if we're not witnessing, if we're not sharing the gospel, if we're not talking to people, then what are we? Are we obedient or are we disobedient? I think as we study Scripture, we would be called disobedient. Amen. The one who runs against God's perfect will go according, listen, to the former lust and ignorance. If you run against God's will, you will be back in verse 14 as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You're going to be obedient. If you're not obedient, you're going to go back to that way of life. You're going to go back to those things that draw you away from God. The world system shapes, molds, and gives one an appetite for the wrong thing. Being obedient will cause those, worldly appetites to go away. Amen. It will cause them. In 1887, John Samus penned the words of a well-loved and meaningful hymn that we often sing. You'll know it. It goes like this. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, why? For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to what? Trust and obey. We need to simply trust God. The third thought is the Christian should live a holy life. A holy life. Look at verse 15 with me again. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy for what? I am. He said, for I am holy. Well, God is holy, amen. So he gives us a pattern. He says, where do we learn about our holiness? From the very Word of God. Again, we got to come back to the Word. Every time it comes back to the Word. The Word, or maybe a modifier of the word holy would be something like this. Holy, pure, clean, righteous, moral, integrity, and uprightness of character. Amen? Uprightness of character. Five times the expression, be ye holy, for I am holy, appears in the book of Leviticus. You think God wanted to say something in the Bible about be ye holy, for I am holy, or as I am holy? We may choose, listen, you may choose a married life, or you may choose a single life. But it is not left to us to choose whether or not we live a holy life. Amen. We need to live a holy life. Holiness is not an option. Not an option for you. Not an option for me. Our holiness in Christ is to affect our holiness in our conduct. My holiness in Christ is to affect my holiness in conduct. Holiness is not a choice. Holiness is a command. Holiness is a commitment. Listen, what? To please God. Again, he says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations, all manner of life, all manner of what you're doing, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. It is a commitment to please God in your life. Why be holy? Peter gives some good reasons why we should be holy. Well, I just told you it's a command. Amen. And then it's because we are the children of God. Hath called you. He said, hath called you. Again, as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy. Aren't you glad when God called you? Amen. That time when the Holy Spirit of God just reached down and he just sort of stuck his finger into your heart and he went, you need this. Amen. And all of a sudden, maybe he was trying to get through me. I heard the gospel 25, 30 or more times before I got saved. He was trying to get through the whole time, amen. But one day, the Holy Spirit of God, that finger of God, came down and just stirred up my heart. Boy, I tell you what, I had to call upon Him, amen. But as He hath called you. So He didn't call me just to be saved, Pastor. I thank God for that. But He called me to be holy. So, let me ask you this question as I finish up. How are you living? How are you living? According to what we just read in the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 16. How are you living as a child of God? What is God doing in your life that should show forth to those who do not know Him as their personal Savior? That should show forth to those who do know Him. That should show forth in the church. That should show forth in your work. That should show forth when you're in a grocery store or the gas station or out eating ice cream. Amen. That was good the other night. I couldn't get it all done. I never saw an ice cream cone so big in my life, I don't think. Good night. I want to tell you. And how are you living? How are we living? How am I living? Well, I can't judge how you are living. Amen. I can't. But you can judge how you are living. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you, and He does this all the time. Always stirring up. Amen. Stirring up. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a few moments this evening. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm not sure where you are at. I say that every night. Not sure where you're at in your Christian life. Again, I make this statement before I pray that if you're not saved, would you please talk to one of us tonight? And here you say, well, there's a handful of us, preacher. It doesn't matter. You better make sure you know that you have eternal life. And if you're not sure, I'll talk to you. A pastor will talk to you. Somebody else will talk to you. And you might get it settled once and for all as an individual that you might become a child of God. But you might say this thing. Brother Mike, you might say, Mike, I'm a Christian. And you say, I'm saved. But there's something tonight where the Lord spoke to my heart that I need to be doing, I need to be involved in, I need to be acting on. Would you just pray for me tonight? How about I'll pray for you. God bless you. Amen. Others, how about it? Amen. 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 Anybody else tonight before I go to the Lord in prayer? Father, thank you for your precious word. I will give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name for what you have done, for what you will continue to do, and how that you have spoken to hearts tonight, Father. I ask that you'd have all the honor and the glory. And that, Father, if someone's not saved, please yet tweak on that heart, Father, that they might come to Christ tonight. In Christ's precious name, heads bowed and eyes closed. Amen. Let's stand our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. And the Lord spoke to your heart. The front pew is open. The altar is open. Why don't you come right now? You just come. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You come. The Lord spoke to your heart. You say, I spoke my heart, but I didn't raise my hand. It doesn't matter. You just come. Just come and take care of it. You can sit on the front pew or kneel down if you can. I can't kneel down tonight, so I don't expect you to either. But God will help you and do in your life and heart what He wants to do. Preach.
Praise the Lord. 414. Let's sing Trust and Obey. 414. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Last verse. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you coming out tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night, Friday night, for our last of the revival services this week. And so looking forward to, again, you being here. Brother Dave Johnson, why don't you lift up your voice and dismiss us in prayer tonight.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we're able to be here today.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the message that our pastor brought to us. And just thank you, Father, for your word and blessings and your promises to us. Lord, I just pray that you help us to think on you and on these things we've learned tonight. And Lord, just watch over us in the morning today on our way home and our day tomorrow.
Amen, amen. Lord bless you.